Our next speaker this afternoon is Jennifer Coulter. She runs her own elder law firm out in El Paso, Texas. She is near and dear to everyone here in this community, so she's always been a great resource for me. And I look forward to speaking with hearing what she has to talk today. I will
miss you. Okay. Hi. None of that. We don't have time. We've got 30 minutes, and I got to get through Soul Benefit Trusts. And I'm going to tell you guys, when they asked me, can you talk about it in 30 minutes? I was like, sure. And then I did not put anything in my paper about forced spouses. And then I was listening to Alyssa this morning talk about that Heckendorf case. And now I'm like, we should probably be talking about that. How do I rejigger my whole presentation in 30 minutes to talk about that too? So let's see if we can get to it. So we're going to talk about sole benefit trusts. These are different than most of the other kinds of trusts that we use. They're going to be a little bit like a third party. They're going to be a little bit like a self-settled. And they're going to be a lot like nothing else we use. So I'm going to give you kind of an example client of mine. You should know all client identifying information has changed, and some of the facts are changed to prevent me from accidentally disclosing confidential information. So my client, Magdalena, has a daughter, Deandra, who is disabled, has a disability, and Magda is now going to need long-term care services. She and her daughter live in the home together. Daughter gets class and CDB benefits, and Magda is saying, no, I will not go to the nursing facility. I won't, because I'm telling her, look, it's $7,000 a month at the facility, or we can get you Medicaid. But she's not dumb. She knows what the Medicaid limits are. She has been helping her daughter for years do these Medicaid applications. So she is going to say no. She won't go, but she does have a third-party settled special needs trust, and she is willing to just dump all the money in that. And I have to be the bad guy in this situation who says, you did great planning, we can't use that. This can be a problem, too, for clients who are doing third-party settled trusts that they may want to fund right now, but who may need long-term care in the future. So what is the problem with it? The problem, of course, is going to be transfer penalties, right? So Health and Human Services is going to trigger a transfer penalty for any transfers made in the 5 years leading up to the Medicaid application or any time thereafter as a general rule. In the nursing home context, we're going to be looking at 242.13 a day. Did I get that right? Close enough? Y'all are like, it's the post-lunch slump here. We don't know. So they're going to look at it, and they're going to trigger a penalty period. So if you transfer $2,500, you're going to end up with a 10-day penalty period. That's from when mom is otherwise eligible. She's in the facility. She doesn't have the money to pay for her care, and she needs Medicaid benefits. Medicaid's going to say no. So if Magda's just dumping all her money into the third-party settled SNT she's got set up for her daughter, we've got a problem. That is even worse in the STAR Plus Plus waiver program. I don't know if y'all are super familiar with this, but STAR Plus Plus is applying the transfer penalty wrong. They are saying you're just ineligible for 5 years. Unless you give back the gift, you're just ineligible for 5 years. So if it doesn't fall into one of the exceptions, the end. That's not the way the rule should be applied. If one of your clients has done that and we can't get the gift back and it doesn't fall into one of the exceptions, reach out to me, because we want to be fighting about that with the state. But right now, that's how they're interpreting it. So it's a problem. We end up having to do these spend downs. And for a lot of our people who are needing care themselves but who have children with disabilities, they are not going to be pleased with a spend down that does not involve taking care of their kid with disabilities. So we have some options. We can just outright give Magda's money to her daughter. That is doable. But the problem is, daughter is receiving class benefits. So that's going to disqualify her from those benefits. Even if she weren't receiving any kind of means-tested benefit, it may not be a good idea just to give that money outright to her. She may have difficulties managing the money. She may be subject to exploitation. There's a lot of things that can go wrong when we give the money outright to somebody. Now, there are certain clients where I'm like, yeah, give the money outright to the person with a disability. It's not a problem for them. But in some cases, in most of our cases, it's not going to be a great idea to do it that way. So instead,